leader of the Islamic Revolution, congratulates Rouhani as elected president of Iran. President Ahmadinejad congratulates Rouhani's victory. Iranian presidential candidates congratulates Rouhani. Hassan Rouhani wins Iran's 11th presidential elections. And Iran's parliament speaker says weapons will not establish democracy in Syria. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to the late edition of Iran and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, congratulated the Iranian people and the president-elect Hassan Rouhani, hailing people's massive turnout in the 11th presidential elections. In a message issued on Saturday, the leader noted that the great nation of Iran is the real winner of the elections, adding that the vote nullified plots of all ill-wishers. Ayatollah Khamenei also stressed that the president-elect is president of the Iranian nation, noting that cooperation and friendship must replace a rivalry of these days. Incumbent Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has congratulated Hassan Rouhani following his victory in Iran's 11th presidential election. In a message on Saturday, President Ahmadinejad congratulated leader of the Islamic Revolution, the Iranian nation, and the president-elect on the important June 14 elections. He said he has always deeply believed in the vast and endless capacities of the Iranian nation for development and achieving greatness. He said, "We believe that all peaks of glory can be conquered by trusting the Iranian nation and by respecting different interests and tastes." In the meantime, Iranian presidential candidates have congratulated Hassan Rouhani on winning Iran's 11th presidential elections following a vote that saw a massive popular turnout on June 14. Rouhani's rivals were Tehran Mayor Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf, former Foreign Minister Ali Akbar Velayati, Secretary of the Expediency Council Mohsen Rezai, and Secretary of the Supreme National Security Council Saeed Jalili, as well as former Communication Minister Sayyid Mohammad Qarazi, that all congratulated Rouhani on his victory. Former presidential candidate Mohammad Reza Aref, who withdrew from the race on Tuesday in favor of the reformist camp, also felicitated Rouhani. Another former presidential candidate, Ghulam Ali Haddad Adel, who withdrew his bid for presidency on Monday, also felicitated Rouhani following his victory. Hassan Rouhani has won Iran's 11th presidential elections following a vote that saw a massive popular turnout on June 14. Iranian Interior Minister Mustafa Mohammad Najjar announced on Saturday that of a total of 36,704,156 valid ballots that were counted, Rouhani won 50.7% of the ballots with 18,613,329 votes. Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf came in behind Rouhani by a wide margin, winning 6,077,292 votes. He conveyed his congratulations to Rouhani on his victory. Saeed Jalili also won 4,168,946 votes, and Mohsen Rezai won 3,884,412 votes. Ali Akbar Velayati and independent Mohammad Qarazi ranked at the bottom of the list with 2,268,753 and 446,015 votes, respectively. A total of 1,245,409 ballots were declared invalid. Nearly 50.5 million Iranians, including more than 1.6 million first-time voters, were eligible to participate in the June 14 elections. The Interior Ministry put voter turnout at 72.7%. In the meantime, a leading professor at California State University says Iran voter turnout is much higher than the U.S. vote. In an interview with Press TV, Paul Sheldon Foote said Iran turnout was excellent and beyond anything we see in presidential elections in America. He said the voter turnout in the presidential election in the US was around 50%, while it dropped down significantly in other elections. He added ignorance and the belief that the two Democratic and Republican parties acted in the same way accounted for Americans' unwillingness to take part in the elections. Comparing elections in the US and Iran in terms of democracy, he said, Americans have some small media networks that have the great power to determine who could speak on TV channels. He said US claims that it has freedom of speech. That is true, that you can post anything you want on the internet, but a small number of people are going to see it. And here is another look at tonight's top stories. Leader of the Islamic Revolution congratulates Rouhani as the elected president of Iran. President Ahmadinejad congratulates Rouhani's triumph. Iranian presidential candidates congratulate Rouhani's victory. Hassan Rouhani wins Iran's 11th presidential elections. And Iran's parliament speaker says weapons will not establish democracy in Syria. Iran's Majlis Speaker Ali Larijani says RPGs are not the way to establish democracy in Syria, rejecting a military solution to the ongoing crisis. Larijani dismissed foreign interference in the affairs of any country, adding that circumstances have changed and military pressure in Syria will yield no result. He said the US and the West benefit from violence in Syria, and therefore Washington obstructs the path to finding a solution to turmoil in Damascus. Larijani said Iran believes that the Syria crisis can be resolved only through holding elections. Responding to a question about Iran's support for Hamas, Larijani said Tehran would continue to support the Palestinian resistance movement and Syria as the Islamic Republic backs the resistance front. Syrian army soldiers have captured a suburb near the international airport in the capital Damascus. The government forces stormed several terrorist hideouts in Al-Ahmadiyya area, killing several foreign-backed militants. The clashes between Syrian troops and militants in the area came 2 days after a mortar round hit an area near the airport runway and caused brief disruption to flights. Separately, Syrian army troops clashed with rebels in the town of Jabar, and northeast of Damascus, killing and injuring a number of them. Also in the city of Adouma, northeast of the capital Damascus, Syrian soldiers raided a terrorist hideout and shot at several militants. Syria has been gripped by a deadly unrest since March 2011, and many people, including large numbers of government forces, have been killed in the violence. The Syrian government says the West and its regional allies, including Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey, are supporting the militants. This comes as the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, on a Saturday statement, questioned the reliability of the evidence put forth by the United States on the alleged use of chemical weapons by Syrian forces against foreign-sponsored militants. Lavrov said the materials collected by the Obama administration regarding the use of chemical weapons by Syrian troops would not meet the requirements of the Hague-based Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons.
The Syrian regime doesn't have its back to the wall. What would be the sense in the regime using chemical weapons? Moreover, on such a small scale, to expose itself. From a military point of view, it's nonsensical, and everybody understands that.
In Australia, hundreds of supporters of the Syrian government and President Bashar al-Assad marched in Sydney to protest against foreign intervention in Syria, stressing on the Zionist regime and the US government enmity with Muslim nations. Protesters said Syrian government has not used chemical weapons against neither its own people nor others. The protesters further said the claims made by the U.S. government is fully similar to accusations that were made by Washington to invade Iraq.
Civil war is fought between two sides of one nation, not foreign militants and the Syrian people.
Let there be no mistake. It is for the sake of Israel that the U.S. is waging a proxy war on Syria.
In the name of humanitarian intervention, foreign powers have murdered thousands upon thousands of Syrian people. And it has to stop. In the name of God, it has to stop.
The unemployment has now turned to be a daily basis phenomenon which can be seen across the EU, especially in Portugal and Greece. My colleague has more details over the issue.
Unemployment has become a reality not only for many Portuguese but for a huge part of European citizens. According to a report made by the International Labour Organization, to get back to the employment levels prior to the crisis, the European Union will have to create 6 million jobs. Entitled Repairing the Economical and Social Fabric, this report states unemployment will continue rising all over the world unless policies change course. 2 years from now, in 2015, unemployment is expected to affect 208 million people, 8 million more than today. We went to the streets of Lisbon to ask the Portuguese people in which areas there should be investment in order to create jobs in the country. 5 years after the beginning of this crisis, the International Labour Organization alerts that even for those who have a job, the working conditions remain unequal. The difference between wages keeps growing, and it's still more difficult for women and for young people to find a job. Inês Subtil, Shabaki Kebar, Lisbon.
Now, thousands of demonstrators took to the streets in Belfast, North Ireland, on Saturday to protest against the G8 summit that kickstarts next Monday. Protesters demanded more jobs and public services.
Well, the simple thing that I would say would be, as far as we're concerned, the people gathered here. Well, the simple thing that I would say would be, as far as we're concerned, the people gathered here today, we're not looking for you to oppress us any further. We're marching here in a dignified, sensible manner, and we want to show you that another world is actually possible, and we're going to demonstrate that today.
And finally, before wrapping up, heavily armed gunmen have attacked a hospital in the southwestern Pakistani city of Quetta, killing at least 23 people and injuring several others. Security sources say the gunmen used heavy weapons and explosive devices to attack different sections of the hospital complex where the students were being treated. Meantime, twin bomb blasts targeted passing police convoys in the southern Pakistani port city of Karachi, killing at least one policeman and injuring eight others. The casualties came when attackers detonated their explosive devices on Mangupir Road in Karachi's Pirabad area on Saturday. Security officials said the attackers could manage to flee the scene before the security forces cordoned off the area and shifted the injured people to hospital. In another incident, at least 23 women were killed and several others injured when an explosion tore through a women's university bus in the troubled southwest Pakistan. The blast took place inside Bahadur Khan Women University in the Baruri area of Quetta. The bomb exploded after the girls' students had boarded and the bus was leaving the university. Eyewitnesses said the bus was completely destroyed in the blast, and a fire broke out following the explosion. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of RYN and English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.